My sister was not an evil person. Not before that camping trip, anyways. Yes, she did those horrific things. I can't deny that, as I was the one who stopped her, though it wasn't without something of a cost. It took a toll on me I still can't quite explain. Left a stain I cannot clean. There was a time when she was the most caring and compassionate person you could ever meet. She would always put others' needs before her own, back then. The woman who did those horrific things, yes, that was Lainey. But at the same time, it wasn't. Not the Lainey I knew, anyways. I'm not making any sense. Forgive me, if you will. I'm not the same man I once was, either. Though that trip did change my sister to someone I barely recognized, what came after altered me as well, both physically and mentally. It was some weeks ago when we took that ill-fated vacation, but it's only been days since. I'm sorry. I'm getting to the point, I promise. Just hang in there. It can be difficult to find the words at times. It's hard to form the thoughts into something understandable or even legible. My family was really no different from many others, I suppose. My mom and dad split when I was young, both remarried, and my sister and I would be stuck in the middle. Yeah, I would get 2 Christmases, extra birthday gifts, and all that other good stuff children of divorce use to convince themselves that things are just as okay as they were before. But I didn't always buy it. I could twist my mental arm, so to speak, in an effort to believe I was content, but it was rarely effective. Lainey was a good 7 years older than me, so she was more aware of how dysfunctional our parents were before they gave up on trying to make it work. She tried to explain to me what those times were like when I got older, but I could only imagine what she went through back then, before I came along. I was around 5 when they gave up the fight to pretend that they were a happy couple, but I remember crying a lot over those first few months of living with Mom, and only seeing Dad on the weekends. We got used to it, though.
"We always have each other," Lainey would remind me when I was feeling down, and she was right.
I know none of this backstory may seem all that relevant to what happened, but I just wanted to illustrate why my sister and I were so close. I'm sure it's not necessarily hard to believe that siblings can be tight or anything, but my whole life, Lainey was the only person I could count on. Our parents were usually so caught up in their own crap, they didn't pay us much attention. They'd bicker at one another or drop us off at each other's places and pick us up, and when they started seeing other people, they were pretty much focused on the new relationships more than their kids. A little after I turned 11, my sister moved out after being unable to take either of our parents' crap anymore. I didn't see her for a few years after that, but I have no doubt she needed her space for a bit. Admittedly, she had it a lot harder than I, as both my mother and father practically ignored her existence. They didn't exactly lather me with affection either, but after they split up, they would barely acknowledge her. I almost felt like they blamed her for the divorce, but I couldn't see how she could have caused that. Maybe it was simply because she was a good bit older than I, but it still pissed me off the way they would brush her off to the side. Regardless of how they treated her, she never took that out on me. Even though I didn't see her for a while, when she moved back to our hometown, it was like she had never been gone. We had spent a lot of time together since her return, and when I got my learner's permit, we began our regular camping trips. We would go to a different spot each time we headed into the wilderness, and I began to love the peacefulness of it all. Maybe it was due to my parents when they would always bicker at each other whenever they had to share a room together, but I had grown to almost despise being around other people, with the exception of Lainey, of course. So by the time I reached 23, the age I am now, my sister and I had ventured to about every good camping spot in the state, and the many more beyond its borders. We had saved up some years back and invested in a decent camper,
as it had become a very regular part of our lives. It was nothing fancy, but it suited our needs just fine. We would still bring tents along for when we wanted to go rough it out a bit more, but it was definitely nice for those rainy nights out in the woods. While I was doing some research to find a new place for our next stay in the many forests of America, Lainey came bursting into my apartment out of the blue. She told me about this spot that she had found, just outside of an old ghost town, somewhere practically on the other side of the country. Though I wasn't all that well versed in what she did for a living, she would do a lot of traveling, and could sometimes be gone for weeks at a time, should she come across a good many interesting areas and backroads. I hadn't really come up with any other alternatives, so I didn't argue with her recommendation, as she had grown far more worldly than I. I was a bit apprehensive, as the old deserted town was a good many miles from where I lived, but Lainey assured me it would be worth it. The farthest that we had ever ventured from home in the past had only taken about 4 hours in the camper to get there, but this one took us over a half a day to reach. Luckily, she had committed the route to memory, as the city we were seeking out had no name assigned to it anymore, and as such, I couldn't punch it into my GPS. We headed out about 8 in the morning, and it was a little past 9 p.m. when we passed by what was left of the city limits sign. Most of the beaten, warped, and buckled sign had been worn off for what could have been decades, but whatever the name of this town was, it began with an R and ended with either an L or an I. But there wasn't enough of it left to tell one way or another. I could barely see it at first, let alone the thin, single-lane road, as the wild brush and low-hanging branches of the trees hid them well. There was absolutely no way I could have ever noticed it, if it hadn't been for my sister's guidance. The old city itself looked like it was once a little nice place, though even the road widened into dual lanes. As we entered what was once seemingly the main street, it was covered by just as much greenery as the thin pavement that led us there. I stared around at the old place in awe, feeling as though I was gazing into the past. The crumbled gas station appeared as though it had closed the doors at least 30 to maybe 40 years ago, as the department store with broken boards of splintered and dry rotting wood covered their windows once sat in place. There were lampposts bent over, while still erected from the concrete, and others had toppled to the ground. Each building that stood to one side or the other of the cracked and potholed road was in their own state of decomposition. The ones that didn't have windows boarded had only shards of filthy and foggy glass remaining, while others had crumbled to their tarnished foundations many years before. Part of me wanted to get out of the camper and explore what was left of this little town that time forgot, but given how rough it was, even driving through the streets, I knew it would be too risky at best to attempt to enter any of the buildings. Still, it was a strange sensation to be what felt like the only living thing in this town, well, aside from Lainey anyways. After navigating the lengthy camper around the scattered debris and broken down houses and stores, we finally cleared the city from years gone by, making our way to the other slender one-lane road leading up the mountain behind the little town. Again, greenery brushed through the splits in the pavement, but that offered little resistance to the thick and wide tires. Even if it wasn't the prettiest little house on wheels, I maintained it well, so I knew what it could and couldn't handle. I had led it up and down many back roads and trails over the years, and had never gotten the old girl stuck, not even once. Even the trees on either side of us looked ancient, their thick trunks reaching high above, almost farther than I could even see. Lainey looked out the window at the beautiful sights with just as much wonder in her eyes as I had. She was around 30 now, but I swear she looked just as youthful and glorious as I remember when we shared my mother's house together so many years ago. She never changed in my eyes, even now. Even after the things she did, she'll always be that beautiful, carefree, and magical spirit who kept me from breaking back then. We were maybe some miles away from and above the dilapidated little town, after the steeply inclined road finally leveled out, when Laney suggested we may have reached our destination. I'd have to say that I was thrilled to finally have a chance to crawl out from behind the wheel. And when I opened the door, the wonderfully fresh and clean air of the woods we parked beside felt heavenly. I stretched my back out while Laney called out into the night to hear her voice echo across the seemingly empty woods. As soon as she yelled out, the forest's inhabitants suddenly sprung to life. Crickets chirped, feet and hoofs, both tiny and large, scampered across the leaves, while wings fluttered and flapped against the branches, carrying birds up into the sky. I couldn't help but laugh at my sister's goofy chuckles after she woke the creatures of the forest, accompanied by her side, enthusiastic grin, but things settled back down after a while. We didn't do much else for the remainder of that night, aside from chugging down a few beers and grilling some burgers. When I woke up the following morning, Laney was already gone. I got worried at first, but I assumed that she had just ventured out into the woods for a bit to take in the beauty of it all. I still wished she would have just waited for me, but she was often more prone to waking at a far more premature hour than I. Honestly, I didn't mean to sleep in, but I think my body had been exhausted from all the hours of driving. While I was in the middle of making some breakfast, I saw my sister clearing the tree line with a huge smile on her face. "This may be one of the coolest spots we have ever been to," she said, with her excited grin lighting up her wide eyes. "Yeah? Want to go for a hike after you eat?" She was practically hopping in place, coming off like a giddy little kid. "Hell yeah, you hungry?" "Nah, too excited to eat," she replied with a laugh. She would get like that sometimes. She could be easily distracted, and it didn't take much for her to light up like a little kid on Christmas morning, but it still made me smile every time. She had that infectious kind of happiness. It was almost impossible not to share her inherent joy and love of life. So I finished up making my food, scarfed it down, and grabbed my pack and headed out into the wild with my sister. It was absolutely beautiful behind the tree line, and quite spacious within. There was no trail to speak of, but the terrain wasn't particularly bumpy either. I got the feeling that ours were the first human feet to walk between these trees in some time, though the squirrels, deer, and other occupants didn't seem especially alarmed by our presence. If anything, they appeared more friendly than those of many other forests that we had spent time in over the years. A curious doe even walked directly up to me at one point, allowing me to run my fingers across the soft fur on her back. Laney and I just smiled at each other before she sprinted back over the mound she had trotted around at first. After walking in varying directions for some hours, we settled down in a wide clearing, with a slender stream running through its center, to a glistening pond not too far from where we parked. Sometime later that day, we'd head back to the camper to grab our tents, chairs, portable grill, and fishing poles, and we would camp out in that lovely open space, as it was just too good to resist. I truly wish that we could have spent days in those woods, with each being as wonderful as that one. As I grilled the fish I had caught in the pond, while Laney danced to the music echoing from the little Bluetooth speaker, I felt more content than I ever had before. I suppose that happiness was just too good to last. The sound that pulled me from my sleep sometime during that night was unlike anything I had ever heard. It was something like a wailing that could accompany someone hysterically crying, combined with something mechanical almost. It wasn't like rusty sprockets turning, or like chains rattling against gears, but more like a slipping belt squealing, or worn brake pads scraping against the rotors. It's hard to explain, really, because it wasn't exactly similar to anything I was familiar with. I know, it sounds like I'm just babbling, but that's how it, I guess, felt more than sounding. I sat straight up in my sleeping bag, which made me feel like some sort of bug attempting to escape its cocoon. I unzipped my tent, peeking my head through like a freaked-out kid afraid of the potential monster in the closet, or perhaps nestled under the bed. When I saw that Laney's tent was open too, I practically ran out of mine, replacing my fear of what may be lurking in the darkness with concern for my sister. It was freezing outside, far more than it had been while I laid down. I pulled my jacket and flashlight out of my backpack and headed out into the night after confirming her tent was indeed vacant. I had no way of knowing which direction she had gone, but she was always more curious than I, so I had little doubt that she was seeking out the source of the sound that was still echoing from somewhere in the distance. It was a good deal softer than it had been when it had caused me to jerk awake, but loud enough to be able to trace what direction that it was coming from. I don't know if it was from the cold, or just how eerie the trees had looked through the beam of my flashlight that was making me shiver, but I could barely hold the dang thing straight. The fog that blew from my mouth when I exhaled didn't help things appear any less creepier either. As the sound increased in volume, I hoped it was because I was getting closer and not whatever was causing it to grow more, I don't know, agitated. "Laney!" I called out. Not quite whispering, but not especially loud. My brain hadn't yet decided if those noises belonged to anything living, but it hadn't ruled out the possibility. Either way, it wouldn't allow my voice to fully expose me. "Sis, are you there?"
"Brian."
I heard my name echoing from somewhere beyond the trees ahead.
"It's beautiful, Brian."
It didn't entirely sound like my sister's voice. Similar, but not quite right, if that makes any sense. It was enough to allow me to assume I was going in the right direction, but it was also enough to cause me to slow down a little bit. I could feel the pulse throbbing in my neck, as well as my chest beating against the fabric of my shirt. The bizarre sound now combined with the beating of my heart on the inner lining of my ears, causing me to feel even more on edge. The plumes I breathed began to combine with a subtle mist that caressed the forest floor, made even more unnerving by a subtle light emanating from somewhere ahead. My surroundings grew more visible, but it was more like I could just see more clearly. Things didn't appear to be especially illuminated by the dim light, but I could make out that there were trees around me, but rotting and dead. Their blackened barks were split, with a dark ooze leaking from within. The leaves that I could make out that lined the ground beneath the fog all looked to be lifeless and discolored as everything else around me. Every branch was bare, and even bled the same thick pus. When I finally cleared the rows and rows of deceased trees, I came to another clearing, large but more smaller than the one we had set up our tents in. My sister was in the very center of the almost perfectly circular area. She had her back to me with her arms outstretched from her body, which appeared to float above the mist, which had grown far thicker than it had in the forest of the dead I left behind. There was nothing else around her, though she still moaned her words in that borderline foreign voice.
"It's so damn beautiful, Brian."
"What's beautiful, Lane?" I could make out nothing I would consider even remotely pleasing to the eye, nor could I figure what caused my sister to hover a foot or two above the ground. As I approached her, that disturbing sound now surrounded me, as opposed to being where I was heading towards. When I turned my head to each side, seeking the source of the noise, I screamed out, horrified by the hands which reached out from the trees that lined the circumstance of the clearing. There were more of them than I took the time to count, each with darkened flesh that looked as rotten as the bark and branches they reached through. As I watched on, slender, almost skeletal legs stepped out, followed by sunken torsos and abnormal small, spiral heads with orange glowing eyes peering through. Each one of the creatures slowly broke free of the tree line in jerky, staggered movements. I could hear bones shift and crackle as the scrawny arms and legs sliced through the fog. That sound emitted from what I assumed to be their mouths, though I could make out no openings in those tiny round heads, only the bright, beady eyes glaring towards where my sister floated.
Lane, we gotta go.
She didn't respond, only continued to moan and whimper, which contrasted with the sound of the blackened creatures to form noises which almost made me feel sick to my stomach.
Lane, damn it, snap out of it!
I screamed at my sister, wrapping my hand around her right wrist, turning her to face me.
Chiso!
I stuttered while I looked upon the white light breaching out from somewhere within her head, beaming through her eyes, nose, and mouth. Those things were getting closer. Regardless of how slowly they staggered, movements pushed them forwards. Their wails were much louder now, causing a thin stream of blood to leak from my ears. It was practically deafening by this point, inspiring me to scream out, just to make sure I still had a voice, while yelling my sister's name as hard as I could.
Lady, frickin' snap out of it!
Though it made my chest hurt, I slapped my hand across her face as hard as I could. As her head jerked to the side, the light shining through her beamed across the creatures to the left, showing me a better glimpse of the sunken cheeks and withered flesh before it snuffed out, blinking her eyes once back to the real world.
"Frickin' ouch, Barry,"
she said, not even noticing that her feet had made contact with the ground.
"Are you here?"
"What?
Of course I... What the hell is that?"
she screamed, finally noticing the approaching horde.
"What the hell are they, Bri?"
"I don't know, Lane, but we gotta get the hell away from here. Are you with me?"
Her whole body shook while she rapidly nodded her head, darting her eyes all around her. We were surrounded by those things, and they were edging closer by the second. But there was space between them. If we ran fast enough, I was sure we could get through.
"We gotta run, sis, as fast as we can, okay?"
She nodded again, and I wrapped my trembling fingers around her shivering hand. I hoped I spun to face us in the right direction, but I planned to just keep running until we got back to the camper. I didn't care about the tents, nor any of the other crap that we had left in the clearing where we had set up camp for the night. I just wanted to get the hell away from there as soon as we could. We ran between two of those things, though they were closer together than I had hoped. I pushed one back, feeling its rough and cushioned tissue give way against my palm, before the other reached out to grab Lainey by the wrist. She screamed out, attempting to pull away from it, but the grip was tight. Another was moving in from the other side, giving us little time to get her loose. I just punched at that rotten flesh of an arm, while kicking at its withered knees. Its sounds bellowed in an angered screech, causing my sister and I to both share the equally loud scream, before I slugged the thing in the face over and over again, finally causing it to let Lainey's arm slip from its grasp. Giving the rest of the jerkily approaching mob no chance to get any closer, as soon as Lane was free, we hauled ass, hopefully, back the way we came. I could still both feel and hear the echoing chorus of the haunting howls behind us, causing my head to spin, damn near sending me to the ground. But it was Lainey who kept me on my feet this time. Hand in hand, we plundered onwards, breaking free of the forest of the blackened and deceased trees, back into the clearing where our tents still stood in place. We were almost to the other side of the clearing, before I realized my keys were still in the tent. I told Lainey to continue on to the camper while I spun in place to see the creatures already breaking through the tree line.
"Keep going!"
I called to my sister as I sprinted back to the tent, with those things moving considerably more quickly than they had before, which, given the fact their movements were still incredibly staggered and jerky, made the whole scene look even more bizarre. I yanked my pants which held the keys in the pocket from the floor of the tent, with the rotted fingers closing the gap between us more and more by the second. I pulled free of my tent while three of the things reached out towards me, but I leapt away from them before they could make contact. Lainey still stood where I'd left her, visibly shaken from head to toe. But I locked my fingers around her once more and I got alongside her and we resumed our effort to escape. The whimpering, metallic shrieks from behind us, combined now with the scampering of their feet crackling against the dried leaves lining the forest floor. As I looked back to see how close they were, I noticed anything living around them was growing as blackened and lifeless as they appeared, as they passed between and through the trees. They were maybe 15 feet from our backs, but that just inspired me to force my legs to speed their pursuit of freedom, practically pulling my sister along. Finally, I could make out the moonlight reflecting off the windows of the camper ahead. I hoped to God and everything I held holy that I had left the damn thing unlocked, which to my surprise I had, as my sister had pulled the side door open with me jumping in after her. I slammed it shut, sliding the simple lock to the side before hopping in the driver's seat and cranking the engine as soon as I convinced my trembling fingers to feed the key into the ignition. As I heard the glorious, familiar rumbling echoing from under the hood, it was accompanied by the sounds of the pounding and scraping on the outside wall of our home away from home on wheels. I cranked the radio up in the attempt to drown out the creature's wails, along with what sounded to be metal being sliced into and pulled apart. I pushed the pedal to the floor so damn hard I thought it might have crushed through the floorboard, but I felt the wheels spin in place before they secured themselves enough to force us along the road, away from that damn forest from hell. Even with Credence loudly warning us there may be a bad moon rising, I still heard the pounding of those little feet across the pavement as they fought to chase us down, but I wouldn't let them. Though I was incredibly unfamiliar with this winding and bumpy road, I would be damned if I was going to let them catch us. The wheels violently bounced in and out of tracks and holes in the pavement, while skidding against the border of where the road met the steep drop over the left. But I wouldn't allow us to yield or descend from the mountain. Lainey was still whimpering and screaming out with every jump and skid, but I wouldn't break my focus. The wails from somewhere behind the rear bumper were fading more as we approached the lost town to the past, but I still pressed the gas as hard as I could. I almost lost control of the long camper as I turned back into the two-lane of the broken-down old city, but I managed to control it, even after the tires on the right side lifted from the crumbling concrete. I sped onto curbs to avoid debris scattered across the road, as well as tipped over lampposts and various streetlights. I didn't even think about letting up, even after passing the faded and warped city limits signpost, still neatly hidden behind the unkept overgrowth surrounding the deserted single-laned road. I didn't allow the blood to return to my white knuckles until I finally began to see signs of life outside that ghost town, and the forest of the damned behind it, before pulling into a 24-hour truck stop close to the exit of the interstate.
"It hurts, Bri,"
Lane said, where I had examined where the blackened and frigid fingers had wrapped around her wrist. She was bordering on tears where I gently turned her arm over in the attempt to see how bad it was, under the flickering fluorescent lights of the gas station restroom. The imprint of the slender hand appeared to almost be burnt into her flesh, along with 5 little pinprick holes, each oozing thin streams of dark blood. I tried to wash her wounds as best as I could, but even the slightest pressure applied to the moistened paper towels caused her to wince and practically buckle from the pain. Being both untrained and unable to do anything to actually treat the damage to her skin, I grabbed some ibuprofen, antibiotic cream, and gauze from the truck stop. I applied the ointment to the inside of the gauze before I wrapped her arm, to avoid causing her more pain than necessary. I wanted to take her to the emergency room, but she wouldn't have it. I made her promise that she would have to go get it checked out if it got any worse, or didn't show any signs of improvement after a few days had been passed, but she still seemed reluctant. She was never one to seek out medical assistance, as she was both somewhat untrusting of doctors and a bit grossed out by hospitals in general. She had always been a bit of a germaphobe, but that would never keep her from exploring the darker and more gritty places of the world. It did seem a bit contradictory to me, but I'm sure I have my own share of oddball aspects to my personality to her as well, and just about to anyone else, so I wouldn't hold it against her or anything. Still, I was worried about this one. God knows what sort of fungus those, whatever the frick they were, had passed to their rancid flesh. Regardless of how late the hour had grown, nor how far from home we were at this point, Lainey begged me to get back on the road, to head back home. I tried suggesting a hotel for the night, but I couldn't blame her for wanting to get as far away from that mountain as possible. Of course, I was far beyond exhausted at that point, not to mention growing more worried about my sister by the moment, but I did as she asked. If nothing else, I would be able to keep an eye on her, to make sure the marks on her wrist didn't spread or somehow worsen her condition to something more than just a tired and freaked out woman. My mind was still reeling from what we had seen back there, but I still had no idea what she had been through before I awoke. The eerie little creatures were one thing, but I wanted to ask her so badly about what left her floating above the ground, bordering on some kind of catatonic ecstasy, or whatever the hell that was. I had already tried to ask her a few times, but whenever I brought it up, she would begin to shiver and cry again. She had seemed to be in such awe and wonder while she hovered only a few feet on the foggy forest floor. But whatever it was that she saw only brought fear back to the front line of her mind. As much as I wanted answers to what truly happened out in that forest of the damned, up on that mountain, behind the town that time forgot, I would have to wait until she was ready. Of course, I didn't realize at the time that my nightmare had only just begun.